This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil, now streaming, only on Hulu.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Push the red.
Please make sure we're recording this
time.
It is. Don't touch anything.
too late.
Right.
Things are moving.
Hey, Dave.
Hi, Holly. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you. How are you?
I am wonderful because it's that time of season. We're done with Halloween. We've eaten all it. Have you finished up all your Halloween candy?
No. I'm trying to pace myself.
Really?
Yes.
You pace yourself throughout November?
Well, I'll maybe eat 10 in a day, 10 pieces or 15 or 20 pieces in a day, and then I have to skip the next day.
What is a...
That's pacing myself.
What's a piece?
Well, like a, what about minis this year? Mini minis, like not just your regular minis, but they feel really small.
Okay. Sure.
So therefore, I can eat 20.
Okay.
We have Reese's Peanut Butter Cups, Crackle, Kit Kat, Milk Duds, and Heath Bars.
Ugh.
It was a mix in this one bag. Well, we had three trick-or-treaters.
So is there nothing but Heath? Oh, no.
So a whole bag of candy to eat, 170 pieces.
And there's nothing but Heath Bars left.
I love Heath Bars.
Really?
Oh, my God. They're so good. Like toffee crunch.
Ugh. Oh, it sticks to your
No, it's crunch. Yeah, it stays in your teeth for a while, but that's a small price to pay.
I just went to the dentist, and she gave me a mouthful, literally. Like, all right. Well, if you don't want to keep these teeth, then just keep doing what you're doing.
Well, I'll help you out with the candy if you want, even if it's chewy. Okay, so enough with Halloween. Welcome to What Difference Does It Make?
Yes, welcome. So what happens after Halloween?
Our next holiday would be Thanksgiving.
Thanksgiving.
So?
And chock full of music, Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
Is it?
You think?
I don't know. Not necessarily. No. I did kind of a cheat, sort of, for finding songs that mean a lot to me.
Oh.
What? Don't owe me.
No, I
knew. So kind of my cheat is I went to the movies. And so there's a lot of Thanksgiving themed movies that where songs meant something to me. Not necessarily from the 80s. Some kind of tied into the 80s. I think that was the assignment. Find some songs, doesn't necessarily need to be from the 80s, but something that means something to you.
Right. So we're veering from the 80s today. And I know you said that, but I didn't. I really went with the thank you songs. So they're not so, they're songs that I love, but it's not that they mean so much to me.
Okay.
Except for one of them.
Okay. Great.
Okay. But they're songs I love. I love songs, but they're all really thank you themed.
Okay. Thank you themed songs.
Okay.
Now I'm curious. I can, as I'm thinking.
Oh, they're all pretty obvious.
They're not obvious.
They are.
Okay.
You want to go first?
No, I want to hear a thank you song.
Okay. Well, whenever we do our favorites, I can never decide if I should go from my least favorite to my most favorite or my most favorite to my least favorite. So I'm kind of mixing it up, but I'm starting with my favorite of these thank you songs.
It's a good place to start.
Okay.
Thank you for doing this.
Yes. Well, thank you for the assignment. I am going with Sly Stone.
Oh.
Which I thought was obvious, but I guess not based on your response. Thank you for letting me be myself again.
Mm-hmm.
So do you know the song well?
I do know the song, but please tell me why this is something you chose.
Well, I just love the song. I love it's funky. It's Sly Stone. It has a message. You know, his band was pretty integrated and, you know, they really went with racial harmony. But with this song, Sly Stone thought that message was getting lost. So the lyrics are, he said, which I kind of tried to read the lyrics after, more detailed after I read some of his feelings about this. And he said he feels the lyrics are scathing and mostly directed at himself. I don't find them to be that way. But then he feels that people listening to the song lost the message because the groove was so powerful. Most interesting, and you would think, because I have loved the song for a long time, that I would have known this. You know that. So, thank you for letting me be myself again.
Mm-hmm.
So, for letting me be myself again is the like the subtitle. It's in parentheses.
Right.
Do you know what it is? That it's not actually for letting me be myself again. It's not that. It's spelled falettin me. falettinme. Be mice. mice. Elf. elf. Again. agin. Okay.
Right.
So you got that. Did you know that?
Oh, I did know that.
Okay.
I knew this spell because I work for a radio station and you have to type in all the music. That was one of the songs you typed in. So.
Okay. So of course you knew this. I never had to do that. But what I did find out about that, it's called a mondegreen.
I don't know what that is.
A mondegreen is a mishearing or misinterpretation of a phrase as a result of a near homophony, like a homophone. But in a way that gives it a new meaning. So mondegreens are created by a person listening to a poem or a song. And if you're unable to hear clearly the lyric or the words in the poem, you substitute words that sound similar and make some kind of sense, which we all do that when we're listening to songs and we don't know the words. But that's what he did with this. So there was a writer in 1954, Sylvia Wright, who coined this term, mondegreen. She wrote it about how, as a girl, she misheard the lyric and laid him on the green. It was in a Scottish ballad.
Mm-hmm.
She heard it as Lady Mondegreen. So now these things are called mondegreens.
Okay.
Does that make sense to you?
Yes.
I thought that was really interesting. All these years I've loved the song, I did not know the quote-unquote subtitle for letting me be myself again.
That's just like misheard lyrics. It's like...
Exactly.
Excuse me while I kiss this guy.
Kiss this guy.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. So it's kind of like that thing. Sly Stone played Coachella once. He's slightly crazy and he's kind of mysterious, or he disappears and then you never see him again and for years. I don't know what's going on with him, but I remember this one time he was supposed to play Coachella and the band was there. Sly doesn't show up for like half an hour after, you know, the band is playing, and I can't remember the full story of Sly, but it was tough watching a little bit.
The band jam for half an hour before he shows up.
The Family Stone's trying to hold it all together, and then he comes on stage and he's got issues, and I don't know, it's tough. He's so talented, but he's still got some issues still. Yeah, and
like an Axl Rose kind of thing.
A little bit, but yeah.
Maybe
still,
less
like,
angry.
Yeah. If Axl was still crazy and didn't really, you know, if Sly knew that there was a lot of money out there for him to perform, he might be able to get it together.
More together, yeah.
Apparently, because Axl got it together now. And
yeah, when he realized.
Yeah, oh, sure. He goes on stage
tour
on
stadiums.
Time. Yeah. Yeah, let's get the band back together and let's play. Because a lot of people want to see this and we'll pay a lot of money for it. But yeah, Sly is one of those guys where kind of mysterious.
Interesting.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, I mean that he is interesting. In the mysteriousness.
Yeah. Yeah. All those songs were great. I love all the Family Stone songs.
I love this. I love funk.
The more funky than Thanksgiving.
You think?
Well, if you're playing Thank You for Letting Me Be Myself on Thanksgiving.
That is one of my favorite thank you songs. Another one is coming next.
All right.
But after you, please go.
I'm going with the movie theme. And
I like that.
All right. The movie I play every Thanksgiving is because it's a concert film. And it was recorded on Thanksgiving Day in 1976. This is The Last Waltz, with the band.
Oh, very good.
It's just the greatest show of all time. It's, you know, there's Eric Clapton, there's Bob Dylan, there's Ringo Starr, Van Morrison. They're all saying goodbye to the band. Decided to
disband.
Pack it up after 17 years, some odd years together. So they put together this farewell concert, and it was filmed by Martin Scorsese, and I just love every minute of it. Joni Mitchell's in it too. Yeah, I love her so much. She sings Coyote in the movie, which is great.
No regrets, Coyote. We just come from such different sets of circumstance. I'm up all night in the studios and you're up early on your ranch. You'll be brushing out a broodmare's tail while the sun is ascending. And I'll just be getting home with my reel-to-reel. There's no comprehending just how close to the bone and the skin and the eyes and the lips you can get and still feel so alone. Still feel related, like stations in some relay. Oh, not a hit and run driver, no, no, racing away. You just pick up a hitcher, prisoner of the white lines on the freeway.
It was on Thanksgiving Day for, I don't know how much the charge was. It was maybe like $20, $25. You got a Thanksgiving dinner. There was ballroom dancing before the show, and then the show starts, you know, about 9 o'clock, and the show went on till like 3 a.m,
that's
something
so
like
cool.
that. So it's all condensed into this amazing film, you know, the interspersed band interviews, and there's some studio performances of them. There, Emmylou does some great performances outside of the concert. It's all these classic rockers, and they're in their 30s, so they're still pretty vivacious and just have so much energy. That, you know, Van Morrison singing Caravan, and he's like kicking into the air. It, you know, it's just like he's got so much energy. Like, you know, I've seen Van Morrison now. He is not moving around too much.
No.
Or he does what he does.
A little older.
A little bit older. Yeah, they're all older. So it's nice to see these guys in their prime, and they're just kind of full of themselves. Neil Young is in it too. Neil Diamond is in it.
Fit the bill.
People thought that Neil Diamond wasn't really belong in, you know, he was of the 60s. He's this old man. What is he doing there? He's like almost 40. He shouldn't be here. So Robbie Robertson produced Beautiful Noise. So that's why he was invited.
Oh, okay.
Neil Diamond sang Dry Your Eyes at the show, and then he left. And then supposedly, as he's walking backstage, he passes Bob Dylan. And I don't know whether he says it tongue in cheek or anything, but he's like, top that. And so Dylan's like, well, then what do I need to do? Stay awake? So, you know, and I don't know whether it was tongue in cheek or anything, but it was just kind of like, oh, that's kind of
funny.
So there was that. And, you know, there's all these supposedly during Neil Young's performance, there was a little bit of cocaine that was noticed. So there was a lot of fun going on because it was 1976. I pick a song every year that I love, but this I thought the best one would be Forever Young, the Bob Dylan song, just because it fits with the thing of being thankful for everything you have, kind of, and just a way to live your life.
May God bless and keep you always. May your wishes all come true. May you always do for others and let others do for you. May you build a ladder to the stars, climb on every rung, and may you stay. Forever young.
And Dylan is great in this. He's just, you know, he doesn't play the guitar anymore, so it's great. You know, he's got the guitar. He's got this like fedora hat he's wearing. He's got the scraggly hair, and he's, you know, smiling a little bit and just kind of he played with the band. So, you know, watching, you know, Robbie Robertson takes a guitar solo, it's just amazing, and Dylan's just putting his all into it. Yes, it's a great reason to be thankful, to be forever young. We're trying to live that way, and The Last Waltz is a movie that everyone should see. You should play it every Thanksgiving, and as the first thing you see on the film is play this film loud is what it says. So watch it and play it loud.
You don't have to twist my arm to see this film as you do some of the others.
Oh, okay, good. Do you have it? Have you seen the movie?
No, I know I've seen bits and pieces because, again, you old hippie. My parents turned me on to this, you know, all those artists and bands, and that's one of their favorite movies.
Yes.
So I've seen bits and pieces, but not, I don't own it, but I will watch it.
Yes, I own a copy of it. I've got the four CD set, box set of it. It's nice to just to revisit that film every year and to listen to that music because it's just, it's classic.
Okay,
and
I will.
That's Thanksgiving.
Okay, good choice. Very good choice.
All right, Holly, step up to the plate. What do you got?
Do you like Alanis Morissette?
I do like Alanis Morissette.
Yeah. She's.
Oh, are you going to pick You Oughta Know?
No, I'm picking Thank You.
What?
Oh, I guess you knew that. Are you being sarcastic? Oh,
no. Me? Sarcastic? What? I'm sorry. I'm going to edit this out because that's horrible.
I happen to be a huge Alanis Morissette fan. First moment I heard You Oughta Know.
I specifically did not pick Thank You because I had a feeling that would be one that you would pick.
Yes.
All right. So you picked Thank You by Alanis Morissette.
I did.
This is not off her first album.
No, this is off Supposed Former Infatuation Junkie. And yeah, it was a big, people were waiting intently the 3 years to see if anything she would do next would rival Jagged Little Pill. I happen to really like the album Supposed Former Infatuation Junkie. Do you know what it's about?
I think she took these 3 years to just kind of rediscover herself or something, wasn't it? And isn't that what this is about?
Yeah, pretty simple, actually. There's no deep hidden meaning. I had originally thought that, because she had gone to India, and she does thank India in the song. I had originally heard that she was that the whole song was about that trip to India. She had a lot of conflicting feelings after the success of Jagged Little Pill. She said, I felt I lived in a culture that told me I had to consistently and constantly look outside myself to feel this elusive bliss. And I achieved a lot of what society had told me to achieve, and I still didn't feel peaceful. So I started questioning everything and realized that actually everything was an illusion. It was scary for me because I had believed everything I'd believed in was dissolving in front of me. She wrote Thank You because she wanted to express how exciting it was and how scary it was and all these opportunities. She had all these opportunities to define who she was.
How about them trends?
Do you remember the video?
No.
She's naked roaming the streets with her hair covering.
now I do.
Yeah. Mm. She said they were on the street. It was shot in downtown LA over 2 nights. But she said she had to use a little bit of latex so I wouldn't get arrested because apparently if you're fully naked on the street anywhere in America, you risk that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was 4 a.m. So she was empowered that year. She was nominated for a Grammy for Best Female Pop Vocal, but lost to, do you know who she lost to?
No.
Sarah McLachlan, I Will Remember You.
So sad. That song with the pets. And isn't it I Remember?
Oh, yes, that was that?
That's that song.
Oh, okay. Well, that's sentimental.
See, that's how we remember that song now. That's, I'm sure, did very well for Sarah.
Yeah. Well, it did. She won the Grammy.
Yeah. That was during Lilith Fair, so there was all... Like these are like Lilith Fair type artists. I think both Alanis and Sarah played that concert. Did you go?
I never saw Lilith Fair.
Oh, okay. No, I never went to that.
Seems like a Dave kind of show.
Probably was, but I did not go.
I never heard this. There were two. Weird Al did a spoof on it called Fast Food.
Thank you.
And Jimmy Fallon did a parody on Weekend Update, talking about his being grateful for all the different types of candy.
How about many candy bars? Aren't they moronic? How about cheap people that give you bags of pennies? Yeah. Thank you, Mike and Ike. Thank you, candy corn. Thank you. Thank you, Smarties.
There you go. There's your Thanksgiving Halloween mix right there.
There you go. So, yes, big fan. I don't even remember a time since then that I was bowled over by a song as much as, or a whole album as Jagged Little Pill. But hearing You Ought to Know changed my world.
Really?
Yes.
All right. So 5 years from now, after we're done talking about the 80s,
we'll get into some Alanis.
Yes. Nice. Well, this seems like a good time as any to take a break, so let's stop it right here.
Hello, Pantheon Podcast listeners. Christian Swain here to tell you more about my experience with Raycon earbuds. Our family now has three pairs of Raycon earbuds around the house, and my wife just grabbed a pair of the Headphone Pros to replace some headphones from a company that was double the price. And yes, she loves them. Now, if you haven't pulled the trigger on a pair of Raycons, or even if you have but you're in the market for another pair because they're just that good, well, now is the time to check them out because they just launched their upgraded model of the best-selling everyday earbuds. With Raycon's upgraded everyday earbuds, now you also get active noise cancellation, ergonomic design, and multi-point connectivity that lets you pair with two devices at once. New quick charge function, three customizable sound styles, plus awareness mode. Available in a variety of vibrant new colors to complement any and all skin tones. I even have a pair of earbuds in a cool green color. I have tried just about every earbud known to humankind, and these Raycons are fantastic. Seriously, if you've been wanting to check out Raycons, there truly is no better time. You're going to ask yourself why you didn't check them out sooner, and Raycon offers a 30-day happiness guarantee. So, what are you waiting for? Go to buyraycon.com/pantheon today to get 20% off your Raycon order, plus free shipping. That's right, you'll get 20% off and free shipping at buyraycon.com/pantheon. buyraycon.com/pantheon.
Welcome back. Here we go.
Yeah. So go. Give me another favorite.
All right. Okay. I don't know if this necessarily means a lot to me, but...
Then never mind.
But no. Every Thanksgiving, radio stations play this song, and it's like 20 minutes long, and it really has nothing to do with Thanksgiving.
No, if it's not Rush or Yes in a 20-minute song, I have idea what song it is.
It's mainly just this guy telling a story. Alice's Restaurant by Arlo Guthrie.
Oh, check you out. You're all hippie today.
It's super. Yeah. Well, we're going hippie theme. Yeah. What year was this? It came out in 67.
Yeah.
And it's Arlo Guthrie. It has nothing to do with really Alice's Restaurant or with Thanksgiving, but it mentions both of those. And for some reason, radio picks up on that. And every Thanksgiving at noon, if you listen to a classic rock or a public radio station, they will play this 20-minute song because nobody's listening, I guess. And we can play this 20-minute song. Do you know Alice's Restaurant? Do you know like what he's talking about?
I don't. I remember the song because, again, another one my hippie parents turned me on to.
All right. So they probably sat you down every Thanksgiving and played you this song. No? Oh, gathered the kids around.
Just hear it. Okay, do tell. Tell me a little bit about Alice's Restaurant.
Well, I can't tell you much about it. Well, you could sing the chorus. You can get anything you want at Alice's Restaurant.
I probably could sing it, but I won't.
Okay.
But nice job.
Walk right in, around the back, just a half a mile from the railroad track. You can get anything you want at Alice's Restaurant. That's all he sings. And then he starts telling a story.
Now it all started two Thanksgivings ago. It was on 2 years ago on Thanksgiving when my friend and I went up to visit Alice at the restaurant. But Alice doesn't live in the restaurant. She lives in the church nearby the restaurant in the bell tower with her husband Ray and Fasha the dog. And living in the bell tower like that, they got a lot of room downstairs where the pews used to be. And Having all that room, seeing as how they took out all the pews, they decided that they didn't have to take out their garbage for a long time. We got up there, we found all the garbage in there, and we decided it'd be a friendly gesture for us to take the garbage down to the city dump. So we took the half a ton of garbage, put it in the back of a red VW microbus, took shovels and rakes and implements of destruction, and headed on toward the city dump.
It's mainly about trash, really.
Sorry.
They go to Alice's restaurant. They're dumping out. They want to like get rid of all the trash at the restaurant. So they put the trash in their micro van and they drive away. They notice a cliff. There's some other trash down there. So they're like, oh, well, we'll just throw the trash down there. So they throw the trash down there. The police catch him and he gets arrested. But when it comes time for Vietnam, he has a criminal record. So he can't go to Vietnam because of this criminal record he has.
Was he high when he wrote this?
Yeah, pretty much. Well, actually, it's called Alice's Restaurant Massacre. Not necessarily massacre, but I think it's not as violent as a massacre. So he called it the Massacre. I don't know what's going on there. I mean, it's kind of like an anti-Vietnam,
yeah.
You know, being a hippie, jumping in your Volkswagen and doing whatever you want to do, man. It was actually became a movie in 1969, and Arthur Guthrie played a part in it, too, just based on the whole song, this 20-minute song of, you know, going to the restaurant during Thanksgiving and throwing trash away in your micro van.
That's really funny. I always thought I remember the movie. I remember that there was a movie, but I would have assumed the movie came, that the song was written for the movie, but the movie was based on the song you're telling me.
Correct. Yeah, this is based on a true story-ish, I think. It's kind of something that actually happened to Arlo. It was some guy heard the song and was like, well, this is a movie right here. It practically writes itself. So I've never seen the film. I'm sure it's spectacularly hippie-ish. 60s, yeah.
Spectacularly 60s.
Yeah, so maybe I might, maybe during Thanksgiving, maybe I'll watch that.
I'll put it right behind The Last Waltz.
Watch The Last Waltz first. Yes. All right, give me something good
instead of
this hippie thing.
I'm doing another thank you song, a literal thank you song.
All right. Yeah, that's right. This is thank you song number 3.
Yep.
All right.
Thank you for being a friend.
Andrew Gold.
Well, written by Andrew Gold, but I'm going to pick the version from The Golden Girls.
Of course you are. Greatest show of all time.
Yes. Well, Andrew Gold wrote the song, yes, and he said it was the quintessential Southern California sound of the late 70s. He said he was in his Brian Wilson phase when he wrote it.
Sitting in a sandbox and thinking about surf?
Wait, that's...
No, Brian Wilson famously, when he was going crazy, was just like sitting in a sandbox and, you know. And I'm sorry,
takes you a whole other path.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Let's go down. Why are we thankful for this?
I just like the song. It's catchy. For the Golden Girls, they had a woman sing it. Do you remember from the Golden Girls?
Yes, but I don't know who sings that.
Her name is Cindy Fee, and she was a jingle singer. She was the voice behind the Hoover vacuum cleaner and Pontiac cars and Wheaties.
It's amazing once you get typecast as something.
Yes.
There you go. We need a Cindy Fee type.
She actually was the jingle singer, wasn't? Yeah. But yeah, I mean, I thought that's really cool. What a score for her!
Thank you for being a friend. Travel down the road and back again. Your heart is true. You're a pal and a confidant. And if you threw a party, invited everyone you knew, you would see the biggest gift would be from me, and the car.
Which is still playing on Hulu. You can watch it all anytime you want.
The lyrics are about a friendship that endures into old age, which of course is appropriate for the show. When we both get older, with walking canes and hair of gray, have no fear, even though it's hard to hear, I will stand real close and say, thank you for being a friend. Actually made me cry when I was reading the lyrics.
There you go. And that's probably for that line specifically. That's why it was included, they chose that for
exactly.
Golden Girls.
The gray-haired ladies. Or the white-haired ladies.
Who is your favorite Golden Girl? Who do you relate to?
I mean, Estelle Getty is hilarious, but probably Maude. I know she's a lot on the show, but yes.
B. Arthur.
Yes.
That's who you.
Yeah. I don't know. I like them all. They're all pretty sassy.
I think weren't B and Estelle like about the same age?
Yeah, but Estelle played the mom. They were right. very close in age. I remember that. Yeah. So
you weren't a Betty White type?
I mean, I like Betty White. Well, see, it's hard to pick. I can't say who I relate to most.
I mean, it's kind of like picking your friends. Who was your favorite friend?
Who's your friend? It's hard to say. I think.
Are you a Monica? Are you?
I think I'm a. I like to think I'm an amalgamation of friends.
Okay.
Of the boys and girls together.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Same with the Golden Girls. A little bit.
Yes.
A little bit sassy, comic wits, dry sarcasm.
Exactly.
Okay.
I mean, I think it's a good mix.
Well, that's why it works.
It makes a good show.
Yes, exactly. You get five talented actresses, you put them together, give them something clever to say, and boom.
Well, it was six on Friends.
And then, you know, of course, there's Marcel. So he was, what's Friends with that one?
He was a recurring character.
Or what about Gunther?
Gunther. So anyway, thank you for being a friend. Andrew Gold, 1978.
Very nice. I love that. This is my other movie that I watch every year during Thanksgiving time. It is Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. John Hughes.
Oh, very good. Good
yes,
choice.
Because, yeah, it's John Candy, Steve Martin, Thanksgiving holiday. They just want to get home. Or Steve Martin wants to get home. And John Candy has other things going on. And hilarity ensues.
Yeah, you expect it to be hilarious. And it was because it's John Candy and Steve Martin. But it's also sad.
Yes. Very poignant. And yeah. Well, John Hughes was kind of good at that. Like, you know, you have your funny moments, but then, you know, there's also some underlying themes going on there. But going to the comedic route, one of my favorite scenes is when John Candy is in the car and Steve Martin is asleep and John Candy turns on the radio and Ray Charles Mess Around is playing on the radio. And this is a song that he loves, that John Candy clearly loves. And in between driving is just kind of secondary to him because he's got a smoke. He's smoking and he's playing the keyboards on the dash. And then he's also singing and not really paying attention to what's going on. It just leads to insanity, to one of my favorite moments in the movie. It all starts with the song Mess Around. So when I hear Mess Around, I think of John Candy.
You can talk about the pit, barbecue. The band was jumping, the people too. I mess around.
Very thankful that we have John Candy for this movie, and he's one of my favorite comedic actors. So that's why I chose that.
You're digging deep for this. I appreciate that. No, not digging deep as in, you know, struggle, but those are really meaningful for some reason. Mine are just your basic thank you songs.
Oh, okay. Well, and actually, Planes, Trains, and Automobiles came out in the 80s. So boom.
There's your connection.
There's your connection, even though, Rachel, that was from the 60s. Mess Around. Do you watch that movie?
I haven't watched it since the first time I saw it in the theater.
Well, I have a copy of it. You can borrow that. Actually, this is the season of Thanksgiving, so I'll probably...
You won't be letting me borrow it, but I can probably stream it.
You can. You should. It's still funny and...
It's got to get in line behind The Last Waltz.
I love it. I love that movie. So there you go. There's my Thanksgiving song. So thank you for letting me indulge on that. And now we go over
to
you.
Thank you for sharing.
Oh.
Yes.
Why, thank you for your appreciation.
So back to me.
Yes.
Going with another thank you song, which doesn't have thank you in the title, but it's Kind and Generous by Natalie Merchant.
Ah. La, 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 la.
Yes, exactly. Yes, that's the chorus, which does not contain any actual words.
That's probably why I remember the song.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, Kind of Generous. La, la, la. Yeah, I don't remember how the chorus went. It went like la, 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 la. So apparently that was it.
That is the chorus. Yeah, so you're not substituting the la-las.
Yeah.
You know, that was really it.
I don't know, keep on giving. For your kindness, I'm indebted to you. For your selflessness, my
But she does say kind and generous.
Yes. This song, I remember, it was a wedding song. Friends got married later than I did because this song was from 1998. And they used this was their wedding song, which I thought was really lovely. She wanted to write a song that had a universal, simple sentiment, just gratitude. And I love the song. It mm-hmm. also is very kind of brings tears to my eyes sometimes, but it is very simple. Do you remember the video?
I don't, because that was in the 90s. That was after...
MTV was laid to rest by our generation.
Exactly.
Yeah, it was a circus. She was part of a traveling circus, and she took on different characters, I guess, which I didn't really get the connection.
Okay.
But then again, I wasn't always paying attention.
But yeah, in the 90s, Natalie Merchant was huge.
Yeah.
It was all about, all about her.
10,000 Maniacs and,
Well, she had left the Maniacs when she embarked on her solo career. Took off. And it was during the Lilith Fair time.
Yes, exactly.
My wife recently saw Natalie Merchant last year. Still liked her. Still good. She's not denying that she's getting older, so she's all gray and just... which I guess was kind of depressing for some of the people in the eye. Like, oh my God, that's Natalie Merchant.
I think in the end people would appreciate that.
Sure.
Oh.
But yeah, so she's still out there and singing songs. And I don't know if she's putting out anything recently, but... There was, like connection to REM. I saw, 10,000 Maniacs perform a couple times because they were the opening act for REM. And I think I've seen Natalie perform like back in the day. She's great. She twirls around.
Yeah.
And does all that stuff. Actually, fun fact, that's one of the first shows I took my older daughter, Maddie, to. We have front row tickets for the show. And it was like a small show. It must have been 98 or something like that.
That's when this was released. Maddie couldn't have been 98 because Maddie
she was
only
she was 5 years old. And I couldn't find anyone else to go to the show. And so I took Maddie. And like at one point I just kind of sat her up on the lip of the stage. She must have been 5-6 years old. She was very young. And it's funny because my friend who went before we became friends with them, but I told her that we were at that show. She's like, I was at that show. I was like way up in the balcony. Like, oh, yeah, we were sitting in the front.
Way
row.
Up in the front. Yeah. On the stage.
On the stage.
That's fun.
Yeah. Yes. When you need a second, that's like, okay, let me take my kids here.
Yes. But, that's good.
Yeah. One of my early musical moments with her.
But I think she has a really an impactful voice. I think she has a nice, obviously distinctive.
Definitely. To my next movie. I don't even know if we could talk about this movie anymore because this guy's kind of on the outs.
Oh, no.
It's a Woody Allen movie. It's Hannah and Her Sisters.
Oh, great film.
Hannah and Her Sisters is still amazing. And it begins and ends around a family Thanksgiving dinner. That's the Thanksgiving connection.
Right, of course.
So there's that. And it's still super funny, despite Woody and his the issues going on there. But okay, so there's this band. There's a scene where Woody and Diane Wiest are at a rock show. And of course, Woody Allen does not like rock music, but they're actually in CBGBs and they're watching this band. And I had no idea who it was until I looked it up. And it's actually a good song. It's a Canadian band called 39 Steps. And I guess at the time they were called the 222s. They're a band and they sing the song Slip Into the Crowd. It's a great song, but of course, Woody just wants nothing to do with it. And Diane Wiest is, she's having a little toot during the show, and Woody's going crazy.
I don't remember the scene. I only saw the movie once.
I want to be like you said, I'm going to fit into your groove. I don't want to be different, said I'm going to be just like you. Because I'm going by records and they play on the radio. I'm going to dance at clubs, going to do just what I'm told.
I mean, Diane Wiest plays like this. She's old. She's in her 40s or something, but she still likes rock music.
She's the hippie sister.
Yes. I love songs about extraterrestrial life, don't you?
It's like, I just wonder how they got together.
Not when they're sung by extraterrestrials. I do. I like that one scene, and I still like Hannah and Her Sisters. It's again, a funny movie centered around Thanksgiving.
I would like to put it on my list to see again, but I don't know that I could swing a Woody Allen movie in my house right now.
You can't watch Manhattan. Really uncomfortable to watch, but I think Hannah and her sisters would be all right.
Yeah.
Because I have a copy of that, too. I could watch that anytime. No? Yeah, no.
No.
So anyway, shout out to 39 Steps and short performance at a CBGB's.
I'm gonna have to consult my Canadian music expert on 39 Steps.
Okay, yeah.
John, are you listening? You better be.
Also from the 80s, so there's your another 80s connection.
Excellent.
Yes.
Okay.
Yay.
Well.
All right. Thank you for letting me do that. And now, what do you have you got?
Okay, I am totally reaching here on a Thanksgiving song, but. Mine was also recorded in 1989, so just under the wire.
All right.
You know how pumpkin pie is a traditional dessert for Thanksgiving?
I've heard of pumpkin pie. I do. Are you prefer pumpkin over apple? Or where do you go?
Oh, yeah, way over apple. But no, this is I'm going somewhere with this, so you got to follow me. But I do. All right, pumpkin pie is my favorite.
We'll have a pie discussion later, but go ahead.
Do you like pumpkin pie?
Are you, first of all, pie or cake?
Probably cake.
Okay, that is incorrect, but go ahead. You can continue.
It's not incorrect, and I'm backed up here by my song.
Okay.
So where I'm going with this is, so while a pumpkin pie is the traditional Thanksgiving dessert,
yes,
I'm more of a chocolate cake kind of person.
Okay.
So I'm getting in my crowded house.
But do you have chocolate cake on Thanksgiving?
I always make a chocolate cake, a chocolate something. Sometimes it's a chocolate pie just to appease the pie people.
Thank you. So if you invite me over, make sure you have that chocolate pie. Okay, so...
So you prefer chocolate pie to pumpkin?
No, pumpkin pie, easily.
Okay. I prefer chocolate cake to pumpkin pie.
Okay.
But pumpkin pie, you got to have a little. And I make one of those, too.
Okay. Do you make your own? You don't go to Marie Callender's?
No, I make it.
Good for you. Do you have a secret secret recipe?
No, I look for a different one every year.
Do you?
Yeah, sometimes it's a pumpkin cheesecake.
That's good.
Yeah.
Ooh, that's great. But I'm hungry now.
Well, it is almost lunchtime.
Yeah.
So the song I chose is Chocolate Cake.
Okay.
From Crowded House.
Yes.
1989 from Woodface.
Woodface, yes.
Which is also my favorite Crowded House album.
Really?
Yes, it is.
Okay. I'll allow that. Mm-hmm. Not that I'm the judge and jury, but yes, go ahead.
Well, thank you. And you know the song really isn't even about chocolate cake, right?
Oh, now I'm disappointed.
Yeah. I mean, it's a lyric in the song, obviously, but it's not really about chocolate cake.
It was an actual single from the hearing this song.
It was not intended as the lead single.
However,
it was ultimately released as the lead single. It was supposed to be It's Only Natural was supposed to be the lead song.
Oh, that's a great song too.
Yes.
Ah.
Might happen to like Chocolate Cake better.
This might be one of my favorite albums. I might have to.
You, I highly, highly recommend it. Okay. That was two highlies.
Okay.
It did better than the album Temple of Low Men in the U.S. It was thought that it might be offensive to people because of the lyrics, this song in particular.
Chocolate Cake?
Yeah. You know why? Because he refers to the excess of fat on your American bones.
That's true.
Yeah. So, the lyric, the lyrics are totally out there.
Not everyone in New York would play Sandra Lloyd Webber. May his trousers fall down as he bows to the queen and the crown. I don't know what tune that the orchestra played, but it went balmy, sickly, sentimental. Can I have another piece of chocolate cake? Tammy Baker's got a lot on her plate. Can I buy another deep Picasso fade? Andy Warhol must be laughing in his grave.
About indulging, which we love doing. That's why Thanksgiving is the perfect holiday, because it's just about eating.
Yeah, there That's you all. Go. There's the connection.
Yes. I love to eat. I love to get fat.
But no, that's not even really the theme. I mean, that's in the chorus, I guess. Can I have another piece of chocolate cake? This is another sing at the top of your lungs song for me. Listen to Woodface. Chocolate Cake is a great song.
He mocks everything that's American.
Yes.
Including Andrew Lloyd Webber, who's English, but just us going.
But it was an
But the American appreciation of Andrew Lloyd Webber musicals. Because apparently he had none of that. That's probably what happened. He probably went to an Andrew Lloyd Webber show and like, I don't get this. This is horrible. Yeah. I mean, that's
and you could see how that would happen. He's, if he knows humor and.
Just sees the humor and all.
Yeah. I needed my little Crowded House fix.
Okay. Fair enough.
Give me your last one.
Okay. This is not a movie. but it is a TV show.
Okay.
That is played every year. Trying to help you out here. Animated show. We see it every year. And it's played on Thanksgiving. Usually these cartoon characters are played during the holiday season. You see them a lot.
Like Peanuts?
Yes.
Is it Charlie Brown Thanksgiving?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, of course it's a Charlie Brown Thanksgiving. I was thinking of The Great Pumpkin.
Well,
and Charlie Brown Christmas.
Of course. Well, yes, those are good. And this is good, too. This is a good one.
Yeah.
It came out in 1973.
Okay, so you're a little early for the 80s.
Yeah, but it's Vince Guaraldi, mm-hmm. you know, just that Thanksgiving theme. You hear the tickling of the ivories, and you're like, yep, this is the Peanuts. I love this. The song, it makes you super nostalgic,
yes.
which is kind of what Thanksgiving and all the holidays are about.
And it's immediately Peanuts.
Yeah, I know. Everyone remembers The Great Pumpkin.
Dun, dun,
everyone,
dun, dun, dun.
That story's about. Everyone kind of remembers the Christmas tree, like what's going on there. Thanksgiving, I had to look it up again because I had forgotten.
I don't remember.
Peppermint Patty's trying to put together the perfect Thanksgiving and inviting all her friends. But, you know, they've got other obligations and they end up putting together their own Thanksgiving celebration. But there's no, you know, of course, Charlie Brown messes it up. The Peppermint Patty quote is, "What's this? A piece of toast? A pretzel stick? Popcorn? What blockhead cooked all this?"
I don't remember this.
Oh, really?
I'll have to go back.
And of course, it starts off with, you know, Thanksgiving. We're talking about football. And then, you know, Lucy's like firing up Charlie Brown. Come on, Charlie Brown. We're going to do this.
This time.
I wouldn't pull this from you on Thanksgiving of all days. It's all about football. Let's do this. And, you know. Falls for it every time, and hilarity ensues.
Well, it's a very good choice, and I'm sorry I forgot about it.
Yes, once you play Vince Guaraldi, something about his piano playing, it's like, oh, yes, this is amazing. I love this.
Yes.
Just that light jazz type thing. I used to work at The Wave, and so when I hear Vince Guaraldi, we used to play that all the time. Back in the 80s, that's when it was smooth jazz, and so Vince Guaraldi got played a lot.
So does the sentimental.
So I hear that. Yes, aww. There's that. But yeah, the Charlie Brown Thanksgiving is always a wonderful treat that you should sit your children down and watch it because it's history. It's pop culture history.
We have seen we watch all the Charlie Brown. We watch Great Pumpkin. We watch.
Do you?
Christmas. Yeah, but Halloween. I mean, Thanksgiving. I'll have to go back and.
Yeah, there's not too many. I don't know any other Thanksgiving. Yeah. I'm sure there are that we're missing out on. But, you know. Halloween gets a few and Christmas get a lot, but Thanksgiving, not too much.
Yeah.
They try. Right. They constantly try, I think. I'm sure Shrek has a Thanksgiving thing. Or who knows?
This one's in the queue this year.
All right. Good. All right. We got a few on the queue that you're going to put in there.
It's going to be a long movie weekend.
I'm going to give you a list.
Okay. Are you going to prioritize them for me?
Sure.
Okay.
I'll be happy to. So, happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving, everyone. Thanks for tuning in to What Difference Does It Make?
Yes. Thanks for being my my partner in crime here what's the name of the show? What Difference Does It Make?
Thank you, Dave.
Thank you. Thank you to everyone who listens. Please follow us on our social media pages. Where are those?
You can find us on Facebook, What Difference Does It Make? Instagram, What Difference Does It Make? And Twitter, WDDIM Podcast.
Wonderful. Nicely done.
Thank you very much.
Okay, until next time.
Until next time, over and out.
Check you later.
What Difference Does It Make Podcast is a proud member of Pantheon Podcasts.
It's NFL draft season, and that means it's time to start thinking about fantasy football.
FantasyPoints.com features industry-leading experts and prognosticators using proprietary hand-charted data to help you score more fantasy points. FantasyPoints.com is the place to go for whatever kind of fantasy football you play. Whether you play fantasy football, daily fantasy sports, or do a little bit of everything, Fantasy Points has the meticulously researched content to guide you to victory. And why wait for the fall? Fantasy Points also covers the new spring football league, the UFL. Join the guru, John Hansen, Scott Barrett, Joe Dolan, and other massive names in the fantasy football universe with an exclusive offer. Use code Pantheon for 15% off any Fantasy Points package, including the all-in package, with access to every article, tool, and data nugget that Fantasy Points has to offer. That's FantasyPoints.com and code Pantheon for 15% off at Fantasy Points. FantasyPoints.com, code Pantheon. Score more Fantasy Points.